plan of what I was going to teach, but, you know, he wants to teach what he wants to teach. So, right now we're talking about Colossians 1, 22 to 23, and it says, actually 21 to 23, and you, that's us, who were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body. And it's a small b. It's not the church body. It's Jesus' actual body. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And then it has this if. And often people will use this if to disqualify what he just gave us. But this if is not to disqualify. It's to explain how we receive it. And it says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature, and he goes on. Now, the faith is not faith in our ability to believe. And that's what we sometimes think faith is. But it isn't. The faith is, that's why Jesus got upset with the disciples when that, you know, young man wasn't healed. He wasn't saying, oh, you're so stupid and you don't have faith enough to heal epilepsy. I mean, they must have healed so many. They'd already been sent out. But he was saying, you don't have faith in me. You think it's about you. And that's why some people who are going on about grace, saying grace is this, some people are using grace as a license to sin. Well, I say no. Do you know what grace is? What he told me? Grace is a license to forgive. It's the Father's license to forgive. He can forgive as much as he wants. Tough luck. I don't care how bad you are, how stupid you are, how many mistakes you make. I'm forgiving you. Ha ha. That's the Father's attitude. Because Jesus was already given all of that. It was all put on him. So forgiveness can't be stopped, no matter how stupid we may be. Or how are the decisions or choices we make in our life. He does not stop the flow. He showed me something, actually it was something with me and Gwen the other day, and it was so wild is the best way for me to describe it. It was so wild that I thought, is this madness or is this truth? And that's exactly the scripture, Lizzie. That's what he gave me. He said, where sin abounds, grace abounds the more. Okay, that's in my version. Now, when he showed me that, and he was showing me and Gwen that, he said, so if we sin, grace pours out even more. Now, although it says in Romans 6, you know, it says, don't go around sin, you know, just because his grace is so gracious and is continually pouring out, don't go run around and sin intentionally. It's not a license to sin. That's not what it's saying. Although some people are going, you know, they're freaking out about grace because they're calling some people, they call it greasy grace or something. And I know what they're talking about. There are people that are using grace, not as a license to sin, but I read something. I think this will floor all of you. I mean, it was so appalling. I thought, is this for real? I mean, it was absolutely the devil. Someone had written something or done a video or whatever, and they said this. They said, God will honor you so much because of his love that he will deliver you out of the plan he has for your life. And you're still beloved. You're still loved. I'm like, what? Why would I want to be delivered for his plan? Do you see how twisted it is? And that's what they're calling greasy grace. That's that type of attitude that you can use. They would say, you know, the ones who are against that would say you can use grace in such a way as to, you know, do whatever you want and tough luck because God loves you anyway. Ha ha. Now, that's not what we're saying at all. But what I am saying is that regardless, if you keep sinning and sinning and sinning intentionally, like you're actually purposely doing it because either you can't stop because it's some kind of addiction or you just want to. Okay. This is what Holy Spirit showed me the other day, me and Gwen. That the more we sin, the more his grace pours out. Now that is what grace is about. He doesn't want us to do it though. He doesn't want us to take advantage of it because we're going to get hurt. And we're not valuing our relationship with him. But that doesn't stop his grace. He cannot stop his grace because he can't pull Jesus off the cross. It's too late. And that's real grace. The magnificence of it is when we get it, when we get that that's what grace really does, the desire to sin is just gone. Because it's not based on your behavior anymore. It's not, oh, if I do this, God will love me and favor me. Oh, but if I don't, God's not going to love me or favor me. And that's where these other people have taken it and made it perverse. Like this one person saying, you know, he will honor me so much, he'll deliver me from, you know, basically my call, you know, why he made me. I mean, that's crazy. You know, he honors me so much that he will urge me and move me into that call and equip me for that. And help me in every way possible. So that's where the perversion gets in. But we can't go back to legalism just to stop these people. We have to actually call grace for what it is. Because when you really call grace for what it is, you know what? Sin cannot abound where there's grace. It breaks it. How did any of us come to Christ? It's out of grace. I want to come because of other reasons. And I know some people come in because, you know, they, you know, the fear of the Lord thing, or they're fearing hell. But I think a lot of people, I know personally for myself, I didn't come because of that. He drew me with his heart. And I kind of couldn't say no. It was like, okay. I didn't know what I was saying yes to. I didn't really understand until, you know, the revelation came later, a few hours later, of what I said yes to. But it is so important for us not to change the face of grace just because it's uncomfortable and some people are going to pervert it. That's like changing what salvation is just because some people are not going to understand it. We cannot do that. We can't afford to do that. And I mean, it almost seems blasphemous when you say, okay, the more I sin, the more grace pours out. I mean, it's like, that's what those kind of statements will say. See, then people will have a license to sin. No, it's the license of my Father to forgive. He has a license and no one can take it away because Jesus Christ bought it forever. We have to get what the cross really did. Once we understand that, then if we have an issue, whether it's an addiction or whether it's just, you know, willfulness on our part, knowing that his grace keeps pouring out, I'm going to be broken. You know, when someone's kind to you, you know how they say kill you with kindness? Or in the Bible it says put coals of fire. It's like putting coals of fire on the head if you're kind to your enemy. It breaks it, doesn't it? God keeps going, I'm kind. I'm going to just keep being kind. Well, no, sorry, you're still going to...
Hi, guys.
There she is.
Okay, I just have to write this thing because he just told me something.
Okay.
All right, hang on. And then I'll start recording again. Hang on. His kindness doesn't stop because of what we do. His character cannot be changed by our behavior because he's faithful even when we're faithless. Now, that has nothing to do with this excuse, a license to sin. It's not about a license to sin. That's not even an issue. Because then we go back to the fear factor. Okay, the only reason I can behave myself is because God might be mad at me and I might lose his favor or be kicked out of the kingdom. There's no grace in it. We're back in the law. So this is a tricky thing in the sense that it's like a real razor's edge. Some people will be really